Hello again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, wishing you again an exciting and massively wonderful new year. I hope you've reset all the gauges of your personality and your character so that you can start from ground zero and start off a new year beautifully, drenched in the presence of Jesus. Now, in Romans and chapter 5 and verse 20, we read an amazing phrase. It's so amazing that I want to share it with you as best I can in the little time that we have together. But the Apostle Paul says in verse 20 of that chapter 5 of Romans, "Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound." Now, the policeman stops you and he says, "You're going too fast." The law was made to stop you going too fast. You sinned in that you broke the law. And the policeman stops you and gives you a ticket. You have to pay the ticket because you've broken the law. So the law was given so that the offence might be obvious or abound. But where sin abounded, says the scripture here, and this is where I want to spend some time for a moment or two, grace did much more abound. Now, where sin, the breaking of the law of God, I am quite aware that many people don't believe in the law of God. I am quite aware that people think that the Bible is some fictitious nonsense that they don't need to waste their time on. I am equally aware that if we don't give attention to the Bible, if we don't give attention to the things of God, we will be lost for all eternity and without hope in this world. And one of the things that is developing in our country at this very moment is we have little hope because we have rejected the things of God. And hope has gone from our lives. And we are not excited about God because we're scared he's going to bring retribution upon us. And he is not as the God of love, but as the God of the law. God has laws, and when we break them, it is a fierce thing to face this God that is outside of our understanding. Jesus has given us a wonderful thing to think about. Through the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote to the Romans, where sin reached the high water mark, grace completely flooded the world. Now, Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote that as an interpretation of this piece of scripture, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." He wrote, "Where sin reached the high water mark, grace completely flooded the world." Such is the grace of God. Such is the enormity of the grace of God. There was a man, I'm sure you've read of him, and his name was Newton. And he was a young fellow who became the youngest captain of a slave ship, bringing people from Africa as slaves to America. And he was working hard. He was bringing all kinds of people to America to be sold as slaves. He got his money from running his ship very quickly from America to Africa and back again. And he did very well indeed. People said he was a great fellow, but years later, after a terrifying storm where he almost lost his life, he came to understand that he was wrong and God had a claim on his life. He became the vicar of a city called Bedford in England. I used to go past it as I would go to Suffolk, preaching in that part of the country, and I used to go past the old parsonage where Newton had lived. It was a plaque made of brass on the outside, and it said this was the place where John Newton lived, and I believe it's still there. At 83 years old, he sat down and he wrote the hymn that is oversung and misunderstood and completely ignored as far as meaning in this country, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, how sweet is the sound of amazing grace." What does grace mean? It means I did not merit what I've been given. It means that God has given me a beautiful sunset or a beautiful sunrise. I did not deserve to be given the wife, the husband, the child, the parents. How we argue in our families, how we disjoint ourselves from the living God. One of the reasons why prayers aren't answered in families is because the father is not in good standing with wife, or wife is not in good standing with the father. Therefore, neither of these people have any entrance into the presence of God. If for a moment I dare bend your ear for this, I would say to you this, that there is so much sin in our families. I'm told that children will not listen to us and all that sort of thing. I have three children and they have listened. It is a great thing that I can boast that they love the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus is loving them to the point where they are blessed. Now, the word blessed, they are spiritually prosperous. Spiritually prosperous. Growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are like wonderful lights that shine in my heart. If I boast, yes, I don't boast that they have achieved anything. I boast that God has blessed them because they have stood firm and they have walked straight and they have stayed faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I bring to you amazing grace. Why is it amazing? Because God gives us unmerited favors. He gives to us things that we never deserved. You cannot outgive God, says somebody. I agree with that. Obviously you can't. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is rich beyond any comparison. He looks after us. He says he will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. He says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, even in death, when the death rattles come to our throats. Jesus is there to comfort and to help and strengthen and maybe heal. But he's there with us. And the experience that we go through, he's already gone through. And he understands that our flesh is like dust. And he knows that we are blown around by every wind of doctrine. Anything that crosses our mind that seems contagious and super or suddenly interesting, he knows that we'll be caught up with it. He understands us as we are. And he doesn't ask us to become holy. He doesn't ask us to become saintly. He doesn't ask us to do any of those things before we receive him. He says, "Receive me." You will become holy. You will become sanctified. Receive me as your Savior, and you will become my child. Many people don't recognize that John Newton also wrote the hymn, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears." Ah, beautiful hymns. We don't sing them today because they're not popular and poetry is a thing of the past, which is a great shame in Christendom because there are things that are utterly wonderful. Those old hymn writers could get to the heart of what people were misunderstanding or understanding, and they were coming to the place where they have to understand the things of God. Oh, Newton wrote his own epitaph, and he wrote it for himself. "In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree, in agonies and blood, who fixed his loving eyes on me, and near the cross I stood. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to change me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience owned and felt the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins, his blood had spilt. He helped and helped to nail him there. A second look he gave that said, 'I freely all forgive. His blood is for thy ransom paid. I died that then thou mayest live. To understand that testimony and that rhyme, those wonderful verses that he wrote. How precious! You may be a rebel. You can receive grace. You may be a person that is quite irresistible to sin, but you can have grace. You see, grace is so enormous. It is never withheld because of sin. Nothing can dam its flow or arrest its course. Adam was soon caught in God's grace. God pursued him. If he'd been banished, we would have had a God of trial and error. But God isn't a God of trial and error. God did not withhold grace because of Adam's sin. Instead, he gave promises and his governing and his blood. When rebels receive grace, it's to a man who has been brought from a long way away from God. I don't know how close you are to God. I don't know what your experience has been. But I can tell you honestly, truthfully, it is the God of grace that draws us to him. You see, man was wasted and tested, and you discover, if you go into Genesis 11, there is only one language to be spoken, and that was between man and man and man with God. One language. But man tried to gather himself and organize man without God. So God called Abraham, and he spoke to Abraham. He said, I want you to go. And the fact that Abraham was a devil worshipper, as were all Mesopotamia at that time, it did not stop God's grace. And you and I have to remember that God may see the sea of grace, but he will float the joy of the Lord Jesus right across the sea and will reach to you and reach down and touch your soul and touch your heart and open your mind to his grace. You have not fallen into too great a sin to cause you not to repent. And if you repent, God has said, I will come into you. I will be your God. I will be your Father. I will be your friend. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will not divorce you, in other words. I will hold you in the hollow of my hand, says God. There are times and experiences in life where we have nowhere to turn. Everything is against us. Nothing seems to be right. Some of you experienced it last year. And some of you will experience it this year. And I would say to you with love, great love, the Apostle Peter says casting, using a fisherman's word, casting of a net or casting of a line to catch a fish. He said, casting all your care. In other words, let your care be the bait to bring the blessings of God Almighty upon your life, casting all your care upon him, that he may care for you. Oh, how Jesus loves me. Oh, how Jesus loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. Dear friend, listen to these words because they're powerful. When man tries to organize man, he is usually without God. And God can speak across all the politics of our day where man is trying to organize all the things of man. We don't want to be kept by man from cradle to the grave. We need to be kept by the living God. Put your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, that the things of this earth may grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Never mind all the bragging and all the swanking and pretense and lying and promises that are hollow. They're as hollow as anything you can imagine. A few weeks ago, I was trying to buy a small gold necklace for my daughter-in-law. She has a birthday coming up. I was trying to buy this, and I said, well, how much is this necklace, this piece of gold? And the young lady said to me, well, it's hollow gold. I mean, what do you mean hollow gold, a hollow chain? Well, it's hollowed out so that we don't use as much gold, and so it's less expensive. Oh, dear, oh, dear, it wasn't the real stuff. I wanted something chunky and mighty that would last the rest of her life so that she would always remember this particular birthday. Hollow gold? I don't want hollow gold. God doesn't do anything like that. He says, here's life, have it more abundantly. Here's life, live, live, live for Jesus. Live in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we find ourselves today in a position where we have to cry out. And we have to cry out, thank you for the grace of God. This country is going away from God. We've made deliberate strides to walk away from God. We've embraced things like abortion. We don't want prayer in schools. We mustn't have anybody praying on the sports field. And we get all worked up because one or two people are offended. Well, I have to tell you, those one or two people offend me. So let's reverse the thing. I'm a Christian, and I get offended at the non-Christian. I get offended when non-Christians say, oh, God. I get offended when people say, oh, Jesus. And they don't mean that in worship. They mean it as an expression of fear or an expression of cursing. Doesn't anybody realize that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow? Every tongue shall confess him King of glory now? Well, we don't seem to take that to heart at all. And so we have lost a lot of what was very powerful, what ran our country, what was behind and in the sinews of our country, what was in the very fabric, in the very fabric of our lives, the tapestry of our lives. And it seems awful to me that such things, while God spoke with Abraham and God spoke with Moses, the people turned to devil worship. So there's nothing different than it is today. That was then in idolatry between people and Joseph. Joseph rescued Egypt. Because God gave him the ability and the grace of God was poured out upon Egypt of all people at that time in the history of that part of the world. You see, redemption is by grace. The golden calf was another god. The craven image was the worship of the devil. The devil inspired idol worship. They called on the idols, taking the name of God in vain. Blasphemy is by calling the idol God. They left Egypt to enter into God's Sabbath rest. But by taking works as a system, they shattered the rest from God alone. You notice that we have dishonored parents by leaving God, the God of parents. Nothing more murderous than to depose the presence of the Lord God Almighty. We must not depart from the living God. But people plunge into death today, and they don't care. There is spiritual adultery. There is saying nice things. Let's be nice to one another. Oh, a man mustn't tell the truth. Notice how we don't fire a person. We let them go. It's so dishonest. Notice how we try to say, well, he didn't really fall away from goodness, he just had a short time away. The truth of the matter is we turn away from God. Notice again that we rob God. We rob God of glory. And that's thievery of the rarest kind. People today announce the golden calf that God brought out of Egypt as being the very necessity of life. The gold calf. You can turn your TV on and listen to all the people saying, buy gold, it's the only real sure thing you've got in this world. Buy gold, buy more gold, and keep buying gold. It's a golden calf. It's foolishness. Don't run after it. I'm not saying don't invest. I'm simply saying don't run after it. Don't let it become the focal point of your life. A gold calf of covetousness is the gold calf of wanting to be like the Egyptians. We want to be like the old people without obeying the rules of the old people. Covetousness is pure idolatry. Even all this did not block God's grace to Israel, and it won't block God's grace to you today. God so loved the world, that's you and I, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he did not send his Son into the world to condemn this world, but he sent his Son into the world that the world through him might be saved. Have you received this dear Lord Jesus as your Savior? The grace of God presents you with a great offer. It's called life. At the beginning of this year, take life. Legal obedience was never the condition of salvation. Never. Sending the Lord Jesus was answered by let's kill him. So don't even think the legal side come when the Son was killed. The inheritance was available through his blood. And when the Son died for our sins, the blood washes us clean. And it doesn't matter what that sin is. It's not sexual depravity that keeps us away from God, because that's a forgivable sin. It's not stealing that keeps us from God, because that's exactly why God the Father has given to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given him to us so that his blood can cleanse away every stain. Notice in Numbers 20, verses 8 through 11, and with this I'll conclude. But Moses had to go to God for the second time and say, "We're out of water and we're in the desert. Please, can you help? The people are murmuring and moaning and groaning, and I've had it up to my neck with these people." And God said, "Strike the rock." And Moses made a great mistake. He took his rod and he struck the rock twice. God did not say, "Do that." He said, "Strike it," meaning once. Moses was in such a terrible state of mind that he struck the rock twice. It didn't stop God from giving the children of Israel water. In fact, suddenly the rock split and out of the rock poured water. Now that's an impossibility. Not with God. For with God all things are possible. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And the great thing is that that's exactly what God did. It did not stop his grace, his concern, his love, his desire for his people. It did not stop it because Moses made that foolish, angry assessment that the people weren't worth bothering with. And God showed him grace. You see, they're the greatest of sinners. Paul says to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, "I'm the greatest of sinners. Yet God reached out and touched me and has been pleased to use me these few years." If you go into 1 Corinthians 15 and 8 through 10, and then back to 1 Timothy 1 and verses 12 through 16, you see that saints, as soon as we realize grace is ours, we become saints. We don't have to have a prolonged voting system. We don't have to have a prolonged recommendation to God. God has already called you from the basis of the world. He has already called you by your name. And he has already said to you, "Come, follow me." He has already done those things. We don't need the approval of some hierarchy. We don't need the approval of any government. All we need to do is to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we will know that we are saints of God, saints of Jesus. When we first chose this title for this program, I was of a dither, but I like it more and more. And the more I use it and the more I think of it, the more challenging it has become to my life. And what a joy and a privilege it is for me to bring you the Word of God on a weekly basis. God be with you as you listen to us into the year 2012. God be with you. Let's just pray. Lord, we look out into this year. We know there will be some soft spots, hard spots, and difficult places with dark areas, and there will be light and beautiful places. We will have great joy in you, and so we turn our attention to you now and ask that you will bless every listener, everyone who listens to these words. Let them be filled and thrilled by the presence of your Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.